Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk About Christianity. I'm your host, Zach. Zach Collins.
Very, very good, Zach. Very good.
It's better than your intros.
Yes, welcome to our program. That's Zach. I am Keith, and we want to welcome you to our podcast. We thank you for listening, as always. Got a lot going on right now.
We do.
Couple of things that we definitely need to mention. We didn't talk about this before we started recording, but first of all, we've got a dear friend who is in the hospital right now. Joe, we solicit your prayers on his behalf. Things are going to come out well. He's receiving the best care possible, but he's still in the hospital. And so we want to be mindful of him. I'm not sure when exactly this is going to air.
It should be this Friday.
Okay, well, it should be, but actually last week's episode is still on my phone. I haven't even taken it off. I forgot. So
we haven't even aired last week's episode?
No, we haven't aired last week's episode. I'm assuming it's going to air this afternoon, this evening sometime.
And you can upload it to the website.
We'll get that on the website. And so this should drop on Friday, the 6th of July?
6th. Yep.
6th of July. And so there is something big happening that day, Zach.
Yep, and that is Oath. It's an event that we've got going on at the Paintsville Church of Christ. And OATS is an acronym that stands for Our Ascent to Heaven. And we're going to have a bunch of speakers coming in. And we're going to have a bunch of youth groups from Churches of Christ around the state and even from farther out places as well. And they're going to come listen to these speakers. And we're going to have a bunch of games and a bunch of fun and a bunch of food, too.
Food. Okay, I'm sold. I'm sorry. You said the magic word.
It's going to be awesome. We're going to have some great speakers. To name just a couple, Kyle Butt will be there. Lonnie Jones will be there. Lori Boyd will be there speaking to the women, along with Jackie Jones, Lonnie Jones' wife. She will be there speaking to the women. And we also will have Rob Kernodle. He is a pulpit minister in Danville, Kentucky. And he's came and spoke to a couple of our youth group events. I've never personally heard him, but they say that he is a wonderful speaker.
He's a great guy.
And he will be there as well. And I wish I had the topic list out here with us because I would cover it. But since I don't...
Well, tell us where we can find that.
You can find it on Facebook. On the Paintsville Church of Christ Facebook page, or you can go to Twitter or Instagram and search the username Oath2, that's the number 2, Christ, and that is the panhandle for the social media for Oath, and you can find all those things along with some videos that give a little bio of each speaker that Craig and I did. I actually shared those on our Facebook page, our Let's Talk About Christianity Facebook page. So you can find those on there if you're interested in learning more about who the speakers are and, you know, their backgrounds, a little biography about them.
Okay, so we want you to take all of that information, and if you've not already made plans to come and to be at Paintsville Church of Christ, we hope that you will do so. And that begins Friday evening. What time does it get kicked off?
Friday evening is going to start at 5.
5 o'clock on Friday.
And then on Saturday it will start at 9:30.
In the morning?
9:30 in the morning.
Wow.
And that'll last all day long, too, on Saturday, all the way until 9:30 at night, probably. Actually, maybe even later than 9:30 at night.
It's going to run until it quits.
Yeah.
We'll put it that way. Okay, so we talked about that. We're recording this on Tuesday, July 3rd,
yep.
And by the time it airs, it will be Friday, July the 6th, but happy Independence Day to everyone, or happy Canada Day, if
you're from Canada,
if you're Canadian.
Because we have a large Canadian listening
we
base.
We do.
Yep.
We kind of look at it as the middle of summer. And, the temperature is rising and the weather is, we're getting really, really deeply into summer now. And
I'm loving it too.
You know, it's
the heat is hot.
Heat is hot.
Heat is hot.
Okay,
that's a basic scientific principle.
There is your deep, profound thought for the day.
The heat is hot.
If you have not had one yet, heat is hot. So, happy Independence Day. Hope everyone is able to enjoy that. And, you know, if you have the opportunity to spend time with family and friends, we hope that that all goes well.
Eat a little barbecue, little hot dogs, hamburgers.
You know, if you're like me, it kind of kicks off there with the 4th of July and that kind of cooking out and that kind of eating, to me, you know, just is going to continue, well, for me, until it gets too cold to grill out, which I have grilled in the snow before.
Really?
Yes.
I've never heard this
before.
Well,
you know, heat is hot.
Heat is hot.
So, you know, it will work.
Right. It melts the snow.
It does. let's see. Was there anything else that we needed to mention? We can randomly mention that we are not at pavilion number 4 today.
I don't know what the number of this pavilion is.
We're calling it 3, but I don't think it's number 3. It's the big one right by the traffic circle.
We're at our second home away from home.
State Park. Pavilion 4 was occupied this afternoon. Mm-hmm. And so we're up here. I don't know. We could call this the bird pavilion because
there are so many bird nests
under this pavilion. And you can probably hear some of them singing. And we're also not at our normal time because normally we're here like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And it's in the heat of the afternoon right now.
It's my fault. I work nights now, so I don't get out of work till 8 o'clock in the morning. And I have to sleep.
I don't know what your problem is. That's all I've got to say.
Yeah, who needs sleep? I should just go straight from there to the program.
You couldn't have come on. Let me throw one more thing out as we are going through this introductory material today. You may have noticed that as our listeners, Zach, I know you have, that when we get to talking about these various topics that we address that we're making reference to the Word of God.
Yes.
And there is a very good reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we believe the Bible to be inspired. We believe it to be the Word of God, not mm-hmm. just contain the Word of God, but we believe it to be the Word of God. And
it's the guide and the rule that we live our lives by.
It certainly is. And so that is the goal of this program, is to further our knowledge, to increase our relationship with God and with one another as Christians, mm-hmm. but to do so in the knowledge of the Word of God. And so we gladly take those opportunities to open the Word of God. And that's exactly what we have planned for our program today. We would encourage you to take your Bibles and to open them to Matthew 24.
And we are going to do a little bit of a, what did you say the other day, expose of Matthew chapter 24?
Yeah, we could do an expose.
Let's do a little expose of Matthew chapter 24.
You know, it's kind of sad that there are so many people who are afraid of this chapter and so many who love this chapter for all the wrong reasons.
Right.
And you know, as we open the Word of God, there are three things relative to context that you've probably heard me say before, and you probably will hear me say again.
Because Keith repeats himself and says many things over and over again.
And I repeat myself, and I say many things over and over
again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you know, as we're talking about context, we always want to ask the questions: who is speaking? To whom are they speaking? And what are they speaking about?
Yes.
The general topic of what they are talking about.
And once you develop that basis, then you can develop what the Scripture is saying about that specific topic.
It's crucial to know the context. Otherwise, there are many passages of Scripture that can be taken and used to say anything that you want them to say.
Right.
And sadly, Matthew 24 is one of those that a lot of people have taken out of its context.
Mm-hmm. And it's important to note, too, that this conversation actually stemmed from a question that we got from one of our listeners. And it's a guy who I am old friends with. He messaged me and asking me a bunch of questions, and I'm not going to say any names, but he messaged me and asked me one of these questions, and this question was specifically, do you think the end of time is coming, or if there are signs that are leading to the end of time?
That's so not like you. You always mention names. I'm the one who never mentions names.
I do.
I'm the one who... has just about quit using social media. And, you know, I actually was recently in an airport. I opened up Facebook and it says check in.
Right.
And I started to hit the button. And then I thought, who cares?
Yeah.
Why, you know, who cares? So, it's not like you, but.
Hey, well, maybe this question will lead to more questions, Keith, and that will be wonderful.
Absolutely.
And, we wanted to address this, and when he asked me that question, I immediately told him to turn to Matthew chapter 24 and to read Matthew chapter 24, specifically verse 36. And in verse 36, we read, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only." And that was the verse that I wanted him to read. And not only did I want to give him my opinion, but I also wanted to give him Keith's opinion. But it's important to note that neither one of our opinions really matter, honestly. It's the Word of God that matters. And
but there's so much there in that chapter that mm-hmm. leads up to verse 36.
Right.
And the things leading up to verse 36 a lot of times are taken out of their context. And that's why we want to be careful to set the context
yes.
Of this chapter. Because once you have the context of the chapter established, really everything just sort of falls in line.
It does.
You're reading it and you go, you know what? That makes sense.
It does.
So, verse 1. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Okay, so that is a paragraph unto itself.
Mm-hmm.
Two, three sentences?
Right.
You know, depending
on two verses specifically.
Yeah, depending on how you're counting. And Jesus prompted this discussion.
Yep.
The disciples wanted to show him the buildings of the temple, and,
right.
and Jesus is the one who commented and said, "Not one stone shall be left upon another, but shall be thrown down." So then we go to verse 3. "Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be?
And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of age?'"
So, we actually have multiple questions that are asked by the disciples, but when we read verse 3, and them saying, "When will these things be?" What things are they talking about? Well, we just read verses 1
right.
and 2.
The destruction of the temple.
They wanted to show the buildings of the temple to Jesus. Jesus says, "Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down."
And a lot of times I think people read verses 1 2 through 2, and then they read verses 3 and on, and then they separate the two. They completely and totally separate the two without including the first two verses, which set the stage for the rest of the verses.
Yes. So the questions are, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming, and of the end of the age?
Right.
Now, from the perspective of the disciples, did they view this as one question?
I believe they did.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, though.
It doesn't matter because Jesus viewed them as separate questions and gave separate answers
well.
To them. And mm-hmm. and we're going to point that out and prove that beyond any doubt here from what is read.
Right.
So,
starting in verse 4.
Verse 4. Jesus, he starts off and he says, "Take heed that no one deceives you."
Right.
Don't be tricked. Don't be fooled. He goes on in verse 5, "Many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." Okay, so this is one of those things, you know, we're reading verses 4 and 5, and Jesus tells us, this whole chapter, this whole discussion, mm-hmm. these questions and the answers to them are subject to deception.
And a lot of people will use those, this verses of scripture, this content, in order to lead you astray. He sets the tone right there in verses 3 and 4.
Whether they mean to or not,
yep.
This topic is one that is, with the teachings that are in the world today, it is riddled mm-hmm. with deception.
And controversy as well.
And controversy. So, he says in verse 6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. By the way, yeah, malaria probably is a pestilence. But anyway.
Keith had malaria.
All these are the beginning of sorrows. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Okay, so I read through that rather quickly, but
we're going to go through it.
I wanted to
slowly.
Get that read so that we've got so that we've got all of it read. Jesus begins answering the questions. What was the first question? When will these things be?
Right.
What were these things? Not one stone of the temple buildings left standing upon another.
That's the question. The question isn't when is the world going to end. The question is when will the destruction of the temple happen?
Exactly. Now, you may not know this, but words are important.
Oh, yeah.
Grammar is important.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like grammar.
We don't.
We like to be able to use grammar however we want to use it, but it's important, and I'm going to show you why here in a moment. He says in verse 15, we're going to keep reading on here. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Kind of ironic that Jesus said that.
Even says, let the reader understand.
Let
in
the
verse.
Reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to at least mentally underline that phrase there in verse 19.
You can highlight
those
it in your Bibles.
Days. I just it was not highlighted in this Bible, so I just highlighted it. What was the question?
When will the destruction of the temple happen?
When will these things be?
Yes.
That actually was
right.
the question. Not one stone left standing on another. Verse 20, pray that your flight be not in winter or on the Sabbath, and for then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless, look there in verse 22, unless those days...
Mentally underline.
I'm going to highlight it again.
Unless
those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days... Hey, twice within one verse.
Just highlight the entire verse.
But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Okay. So, then if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Okay, so we, and actually in the Bible that I'm reading, it's got headers over different parts of this chapter, and it comes to a new header at verse 29, and it says the coming of the Son of Man.
That's exactly what mine says as well.
Well, here's what's interesting about that, because we read on in verse 29, and Jesus says immediately after the tribulation of what?
Those days.
I'm going to
highlight that. Key phrase
that.
For these verses, those days.
The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Okay, so we see consistency in what Jesus has spoken throughout this chapter. Throughout all of this, he has said those days.
And Jesus was never one lacking for consistency either as well. That's important to note too. You know, anything that he ever says is consistent in its meaning. And if you look deeper and it appears inconsistent, then you're wrong. You must look deeper and look into a deeper meaning than what it is.
So we look at verse 32, and we'll go ahead and read verses 32 through 35, just because we've been reading. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Makes sense, right? We're in the middle of summer. All the trees that are alive anyway have leaves that are on them. We saw them putting out sprouts and stuff back in the spring, and we knew that even though there may have still been snow on the ground, we knew spring was coming.
We did.
That's the picture that Jesus gives to us. Mm-hmm. You know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Now, this is why verse 34 is important, because everything that he has spoken in the previous verses, from where did we begin? Verse
1 is where we started.
Verse 4 is where Jesus began speaking.
To answer.
From verse 4 all the way through verse 34, Jesus gives a time frame.
He does.
So we, and sometimes I'll hear people that will say, you know, do you think the end is near? I mean, we've got wars, we've got earthquakes, we've got famines, you got malaria, and they're going back and they're reading all of these things from Matthew chapter 24. But Jesus says, assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have three options.
Okay.
So either all of those things took place in the generation or in the lifetime of those who were living at that time.
Right.
Or they didn't happen as Jesus prophesied and foretold. Or we've got some really old people walking around.
Yeah. And by common sense, I think you can eliminate the last two options.
Yes. So we look at this and we must know from verse 34 that everything Jesus has described up to this point was going to take place within the lifetime of some of those who were alive
at that generation.
At that time, in this generation. will by no means pass away.
And it's the same. It's the same concept as the generation that you grew up in, with the people that you grew up in, the millennial generation. It's in generations. It's not eternity. It's not forever. It's generations. It's a specific amount of time.
Right. So, let's go with idea number one, that things were fulfilled just as Jesus had prophesied here within this chapter.
Which is the only logical and scriptural reasoning that we can provide for these verses.
Jesus said, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. I have to believe that all those things took place
right
within that time frame that Jesus had specified.
Yes.
So, we're obviously not talking about the end of the world.
No.
Because we're still here.
Yes.
So if we're not talking about the end of the world, what are we talking about? Oh, wait. Well, Jesus was answering the question put to him by the disciples.
And what was the question, Keith?
When will these things take place?
Exactly.
And what were these things, Zach?
The destruction of the temple.
Not one stone would be left standing upon another.
Yeah.
You know, we open up the pages of history,
mm-hmm.
and we find the Roman government, and we're not going to go into of the history that
there's so much of
we're not going to go back to everything that happened.
There's
in
so
AD
much of
70.
We really don't want Keith to get on a tangent about that.
We don't have time.
We don't have time for that.
But the Roman army destroyed the city of Jerusalem.
They did.
And the destruction of the army that was led by Titus was unlike anything that Jerusalem had ever experienced before.
Desolation.
You got to remember that Jerusalem was besieged by the Syrians, by the Assyrians.
Mm-hmm.
The Assyrians destroyed Samaria.
Yes.
And, they... Alexander the Great had conquered the city of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
King Nebuchadnezzar had conquered the city of Jerusalem before that. All of these destructions had taken place in Jerusalem, but none of them compared to what Titus did to it
mm-hmm.
in AD 70. And history tells us that of the Christians who were there in the city of Jerusalem at the time, not a one of them perished.
Right.
Now, this is so gory, it's almost beyond imagination, but it's recorded in history that the slaughter in the city of Jerusalem was so great that the blood ran in the streets,
mm-hmm.
belly deep on the horses.
Mm.
We went to, I was in Huntington last night when one
right.
of these little thunderstorms came through, and actually I was between the car and a building, got soaking wet. By the time we came out of the building, the storm had passed. We got back in the car and then drove out onto the streets, and there was water standing.
It was a monsoon. I
mean, yeah, there was a lot of rain had fallen in a very
yeah.
short period of time, but, to imagine that much blood being in the streets. The destruction was just phenomenal, but not a single Christian perished in the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, how could that be? How could so many Jews have been killed
mm-hmm.
by the Roman army, but not a single Christian perish? Jesus told them what was going to happen.
In these verses.
He told them exactly what was going to happen. He told them what to do to prepare for when it happened. And when it did happen,
mm-hmm.
they were ready and they got out of the city.
And it's always important to mirror the historical context with the biblical context. And sometimes we're not just telling you these things. These things just aren't in the Bible. They're also in the history books. You can find them in the history books. And it's important to look at those in order to fully understand the concept of sometimes of what the Bible is actually saying.
So we go back to this parable of the fig tree in Matthew 24 and 32.
Mm-hmm.
When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Mm-hmm. Why did Jesus give that parable? He gave them the signs for when the destruction of Jerusalem was going to occur.
It was a foretelling. It was a prophecy.
He said, when you see these things, you know it is near. That's exactly what he says in verse 33. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near. He told them what was going. He didn't specify exactly when it was going to happen. He didn't mark a date down on the calendar, but he told them everything to look for so that they knew when it was going to happen.
It's like following directions. When someone gives you directions, they say, look for, you know, the building on the right, make the next left. You know, you always find your way, and that's exactly what happened here. He gave them...
Unless you don't follow the directions.
Unless you don't follow the directions.
If you don't follow the directions, then you're probably
Who
not
needs directions,
get where you're going.
Keith? Nobody needs directions.
So
they're
here,
just simple suggestions.
Here's the point from verses 32 and 33. Jesus says, you know... When you see all these things, know. He's already told them, going back to verse 15, whoever reads, let him understand, which that actually is a parenthetical that was put in by Matthew, to give emphasis to what was going to take place. In verse 19, he talks about those days. In verse 22, unless those days were shortened. In verse 29, he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days. And then we come to verse 36, and we find a complete 180-degree turn. Jesus goes from saying, you can see these things and you can know, to saying, you don't know. And he goes, and this is what is important, because he goes from saying those days repeatedly up to this point in the chapter, and then he says, but of
that
day and hour, no one knows. Zach, how could Jesus say, you can see these things that are going to happen in those days and know that they are going to happen, and then turn around and immediately say, you can't know?
It couldn't be so unless he was talking about two completely different things.
Two different things. And why would he be talking about two different things? Because the disciples asked more than one question. They said, and going back to verse 3, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?
So 4 through verse 35 is answering the first question. Verses 4 through the 35 are answering the first question.
When will these things be? What are those things? Not one stone left upon another of the temple.
And then starting in verse 36, he begins to answer the second question that the disciples ask him.
Of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And then he says in verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were
had
eating,
blood on the mind.
And, yeah, I guess so. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then he goes on and says, two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, and the other left. Incidentally, we look at these verses 40 and 41, and we give a comparison to what Jesus had said earlier in the chapter when he was answering the first question. And he says in verse 17, or in verse 16, let those who are in Judea flee. Doesn't talk about anyone, one being taken and one being left. He says, you run. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to get anything out of his house. You flee. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes.
You flee.
You flee.
But now he's speaking in more of a literal context.
So we go to verse 42, and he says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. He doesn't say, you don't know those days. He says, you don't know what hour. But know singular. This, that if, not only singular, Zach, but very, very, I mean, he goes from talking about those days.
As in plural
how
form.
How do you put delineators on those days? It's very broad. It's mm-hmm. very general and very generic. But now he's talking not about even a specific day.
Right.
But a specific hour,
mm-hmm.
a very specific point in time. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
It goes back to the old proposition, the old question. If you knew that you were going to die tomorrow, would you change the way that you live today? And one of the things that I told the person who asked me this question, I said, read verse 36. And then after you read verse 36 and you know that there is no one that knows, there are no signs that will tell when the end of the days are coming and when judgment day is upon us. One of the things I did say, though, is I do know one thing. We are closer to that day than we were yesterday, and it will be much better for you to be prepared for that day than to be unprepared.
So we go back to, I want to go back to verse 37, verses 37, 38, and 39. Jesus used the analogy of Noah and mm-hmm. the flood, not the blood,
right.
the flood. How long was it that Noah was warned that the flood was coming? 120 years.
Yeah.
120 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we grow so impatient.
We do.
You know, we wait for things, and we don't like to wait at all.
Mm-mm.
And there are things that, you know, we may know are coming in our lives, but we don't know when, and we really, you know, can you imagine being Noah and God saying, I'm going to destroy the world by water.
In 120 years. In a specific amount of time.
And Noah, you know, having that time to prepare.
Right.
Knowing that it was coming. I've always kind of thought it was interesting that Noah entered the ark 7 days before the flood actually began,
mm-hmm.
according to the book of right. Genesis.
He was prepared.
What were they? Well, God told him yeah. to go in. But you know what were they doing during the? Do you think there were any moments during those 7 days where they were going, okay, God, joke's over.
Yeah.
You know, it's dark in here. You know,
yeah.
we're ready to come out now.
Yeah.
These animals are smelling. It's
it really stinks in here.
Yeah, God, it just really doesn't smell very good. And then the seventh day, the flood began.
Right.
And then there was no more joking.
Mm-mm.
By anyone. But you know, Jesus used this analogy for a reason. The Bible also tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
What was Noah doing during those 120 years?
You need to get on the boat.
He was building the boat,
mm-hmm.
and he was telling others they needed to be getting on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
But by the very demonstration of building that ark,
right.
He was preaching a sermon with what he was doing.
He was. He was preaching a sermon with his works.
So, yeah, we could get sidetracked here, and we could ask, what are you building?
Yeah.
Or what are others seeing you build?
That's a really good question, too.
But, you know, anyway.
Continue.
Noah was warned.
Mm-hmm.
The people were warned. Noah was ready,
mm-hmm.
but Jesus points out in verse 38, and this flies in the face of those who go to what is earlier in the chapter and say, you know, look, Jesus is talking about the end of time. We can hear of wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes
right.
and famines and pestilences, and so we know the end must be near.
Right.
Jesus says in verse 38 that leading up to the flood, life continued.
Yep.
Everything.
Everybody lived
on
the daily life that they had always lived.
Everything, and even in the most difficult of circumstances, life goes on.
Yes, it does.
Even during times of war,
mm-hmm.
people get married.
Yep. Times of poverty, times of everything, earthquakes, life still goes on.
Life still goes on. Jesus said all this went on until the day that Noah entered into the ark.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why did everything continue as normal? He says in verse 39, they didn't know until the flood came and took them all away.
And he makes that important comment. Go ahead.
Were they warned?
They were warned.
I believe they were.
Yes.
You know, as even as populous as the world was in the days of Noah, I can't imagine 120 years going by and there being a single person on earth who didn't know of that crazy guy Noah and the boat that he was building.
You know that crazy guy down there, that boat he's building, he says that a flood's coming. And it spread that way too, probably.
Yeah, it probably did.
And he makes that important contrast. He makes that important lead into how the same will be, the same circumstances will occur for the end of time and judgment day.
Everything's going to continue as normal.
People live the same way they're living.
And going back to verse 36, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven.
Nor the Son.
But my Father only, not even the angels of heaven. You know, sometimes you will hear of people who lay claim to saying, "Well, I know when the Lord is going to return." You know, Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1, and I'll bring this out because of what Jesus said there. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. And the reason the wording is as it is because there are two different words in the Greek for another. There's mm-hmm. another of the same kind and another of a different kind.
Okay.
Like, you know, if I said, give me another apple.
Right.
What would I be asking for?
An apple.
But
the same kind of apple.
Right. But Paul uses both of those words here. He says, who called you into the grace of Christ to another of a different kind gospel. They're being drawn away by a different kind of gospel. And then he says, which is not another of the same kind.
Right.
It's different, he says. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, Paul says, even if we, the apostles, even if I come back, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And the reason I brought that up was, you know, here we've just read in Matthew 24 that Jesus says, no man knows, verse 36. Not even the angels know. So if anyone tells you that they know when the Lord is going to return,
they're wrong. You need to be away from that person.
I would advise you to go back and reread here in Matthew 24:36 and Galatians 1 and verses 6 through 9 because those verses indicate that no one can know
Mm-mm.
when the Lord is going to return. Now, here's what's interesting about this. We read this here in Matthew 24, Jesus saying, the destruction of the temple, yep, there are signs of when that's going to happen. You can know when that is going to occur. The coming of the Lord, nope, there are no signs. You cannot know. The warning has been given.
Right.
But you don't know when. And so we go to Matthew 25, and what do we find? we find not one, not two, but three different accounts that are all teaching the same thing.
The parable of the 10 virgins, the parable of the talents, and then the final judgment.
We find that here in this chapter, but all three of those accounts can be summed up with verse 13. And actually, the first two words of verse 13.
Watch therefore.
Watch therefore. Do we know when the Lord is going to return?
No.
So what do?
We watch.
We watch. We be ready.
Yep. We prepare ourselves and we prepare all those who we can prepare.
And that is the point that Jesus is making here within Matthew chapter 25. And really, you know, Matthew 25 is an extension of what he has said beginning there in verse 36 of Matthew chapter 24.
Mm-hmm.
So, according to the word of God, according to the words of Jesus, nope, we cannot know when he is going to return.
And remember, context is important. It's vital. It is vital
it's
reading
absolutely important.
The word of God. Because if you don't have the context of the verses, it is very easy to misconstrue what the verses are saying, what they are leading to, and it's very easy to be even
deceived
those
and
verses
as well. That's the
warning
that Jesus gave. Okay, so let's go ahead and wrap this up, Zach. Let's give our listeners some contact information.
We're already 45 minutes in.
Yeah, we're 45 minutes in, and it's actually this breeze isn't bad out here, but it's still a little bit warm.
You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com// Let's Talk About Christianity, or you can just look up Let's Talk About Christianity in the Facebook search bar, where you go to creep on everybody else's Facebook pages. Or you can go to our website, www.letstalkaboutchristianity.com, and on there you can find everything. You can find our podcast, you can find our blog posts, you can find our videos.
You can find the...
I say our blog posts, but I really mean my blog posts.
And you can find the podcast that I've uploaded.
Yes.
You know, now I'm going to be carrying two around on my phone, and... but we'll get those up and off of there very, very shortly.
And finally, Instagram. You can find us on Instagram at LTAC Podcast. And that's all lowercase, LTAC Podcast.
LTAC Podcast, yes. And as always, we want to thank you for being a listener to our podcast, our program. And if you have any questions... first of all, we want to give you the assurance that we want to treat them as seriously as we tried to treat this question today.
Yep.
And we're going to do so from the Word of God and from the Word of God only.
And it is not our opinions either. I mean, we try to adhere to the Word of God as most as we possibly can. We try to mold our opinions around what the Word of God says as well. But
this is true.
It's important to note that. You know, don't take our opinions just for granted. Go read the scripture that we're talking about. Understand the context and read it for yourself. See what it says for yourself. And if our opinions do match what the scriptures say, then that is good. You know, but it's important to read it for yourself, and
don't take our word for it.
Or other people's word for it either.
No, don't do that. That's bad.
That's real bad.
No, that's bad. Don't do that.
I do want to plug one more thing.
Okay.
And that is the blog series that I've got going for the summer. 60 Seconds with God is what it's entitled.
Uh-huh.
And it's 1 minute or so devotionals. They're actually airing on our radio station at the Paintsville Church of Christ. It's 98.3 FM. 98.3 FM. They are airing at 8, 12 and 5 every day. That's 8 in the morning, 12 o'clock, and 5 in the afternoon every single day. And you can find those on there, but you can also find them on Facebook.
On the Facebook page.
In written form. And that is on our Facebook page, our Let's Talk About Christianity Facebook page. And I've actually got some works in the working for.
Works in the working.
For
wow.
That program as well.
Okay.
So stay tuned.
All right. Our emails, Zach@letstalkaboutchristianity.com and Keith@letstalkaboutchristianity.com. Drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Mm-hmm. And we will, we'll see them again or speak again next week.
Next week.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.